Solara Starr is a UK-based advanced law of attraction teacher trainer, coach, public speaker, and leading wellness expert. She will share life-changing wisdom about the law of attraction and how you can use this powerful universal law to build a foundation for bigger and bolder manifesting results. It is time to create the life you deserve, and with Solara's help, you will.
How to stop feeling stuck and start creating. I am Solara Starr, your law of attraction coach and mentor. And as you already know, if you've been listening to this for a while, I absolutely love, love, love helping you master your manifestations and your life. And today I am delighted to have my very dear friend and colleague, Alex, back in the studio today. Well, I'll say back in the studio, kind of virtual studio, because Alex is all the way from Australia. Alex, it's so lovely to have you here. And just to give you a bit of background on Alex, if you haven't tuned into the show we did a couple of months ago, Alex is a trauma-informed psychedelic coach. And we instantly clicked. Alex has a very, very beautiful, compassionate, kind, wise energy about her. And we wanted to come together today to bring you some very, very interesting conversations that we've been having recently that we feel will be very beneficial for you on your journey. But first of all, Alex, thank you, my love, so much for tuning in all the way from Australia.
My pleasure, Solara. It's always great to be here with you.
And what's the weather like there for you, my love? Is it good?
Yeah, it's beautiful. It was raining a bit today, but it's great. It's still warm and nice. No need for a jacket or anything.
Oh, that's lovely. I like to ask that because I like to kind of live vicariously through my friends who are in all these beautiful parts of the world.
Absolutely.
We've been having some very interesting conversations as we've been preparing a course, which we're very excited over the coming kind of weeks to share with you. It's something that we've been working on very studiously, if you like, in the background. And we are designing the course specifically to help you become more powerful in the creation and the mastery of your own manifestations and your own life, but to bring a very balanced conversation about what that journey actually looks like, because it can be very happy clappy, the law of attraction, it can kind of give you the illusion, all you have to do is think positively all the time. But through the conversations Alex and I have had, we have come to the conclusion that it can be very different to that at times, can't it, Alex?
Oh yeah, and it's an honor to introduce this course because this is really the first and official mention of it ever.
I know, live on air, you heard it, and it's going to be available on Zoom, so wherever you are tuning in the world. So if this is something that resonates, but I'll let you carry on, Alex, because the conversations and the insights that you share have been so rich.
Yeah, for those interested, they can reach out to us because we've already started collecting names and adding people on a list. And so the course is coming together. Can't wait to launch it. It's been so fun creating it together. It feels like, as you've said, we've clicked since the very first call we've ever been on, which was during our psychedelic coach training. And it's very interesting with regards to this course. It feels like we both have very different experiences with microdosing, but in the end of the day, it's the same issue. It's just coming back, reconnecting to ourselves, healing. Even if someone's purpose for microdosing is productivity, like mine was, in the end of the day, it had to do with much deeper issues and wounds that microdosing helped heal. And together with your coaching, Solara, because it's always amazing to have a coach, a witness to call things out, I realized that I actually microdosing helped me heal in a much deeper level than I thought it had. So I'm really grateful for you for that. Aww. And yeah, can't wait to share with everybody and see everybody's breakthroughs.
And we're going to do a specific podcast on that because some people might be listening going, well, what is microdosing? And, you know, and yep, have questions around that. So we will come back to that. And I think that's a beautiful segue that you have mentioned there, because what I've discovered, and I'd be interested to know what your thoughts are on this, Alex, is when it's come to the law of attraction, I was getting some good results and mm-hmm. managing to manifest some of the things that I wanted, albeit at that point very superficial to me. I didn't realize it at the time, but I started noticing that sometimes I would get the opposite of what I wanted. Sometimes I wouldn't get what I wanted at all. And then other times when I did get what I wanted, it seemed to be short-lived and very troublesome. And this is what kind of led Alex and I into the conversation of weeding and seeding. So let's have a little chat about the weeding and the seeding of our own internal environment in order to be able to get sustainable manifestations that are fun and they flow easily, you know, rather than what I described before, that things felt like really hard work and I'd have to work extra hard just to get something. And when I did get it, I would struggle to keep hold of it, or like I said, it would be troublesome. So should we dive into the weeding part before we talk about the seeding? And of course, you know, with your trauma-informed coaching, psychedelic coaching, in your conversations that we've had and your own experience, why is weeding important in the inner garden?
Yeah, so weeding is something I focus it feels like what I focus most of my life on, and I see it a lot as healing work, therapy work. You know, we start this journey either with the assumption of there must be something wrong with me or there must be something wrong with the world. So healing journey is figuring what that is, and then in the end of the day realizing, oh, there's nothing wrong with me and there's nothing wrong with the world.
Carry on.
I was just gonna say that for me, weeding has been, I was quite obsessed with constantly going through the past and weeding all the difficult issues, you know, issues with my parents, issues with my culture, things I wanted my life to improve. And I felt like I have to heal the past in order to do that. And then very recently, I was actually in a personal development workshop, immersive in person, 3 days long, 15-hour days, you know, one of those. And I mentioned to the guy, I was like, no matter what we're going to do, I will still be fucked. Like, there's still so much work to be done, even though I've been doing so much work on myself. And no matter what we're going to do throughout these 3 days, it's still not going to be enough because there's so much more work to be done. And then the facilitator was like, oh, so you're only focusing on what you have yet to do instead of your strengths and everything you have achieved and everything you can do with what you have. And that's what helped me shift that healing work never ends. And it's a beautiful work and it does get better and it does work, but it's a really long-term process that will probably take the rest of our lives. And it's nice for that to happen in the background always, but to not just get stuck on that. Instead, we can do some weeding, some healing work, going through the past, but also plan the future, dream the future, be grateful for the present, do things now. Because, you know, I'm sure if I have it, many people have it, that they expect everything to be sorted out before they can move on in the future. So what I've realized, and the reason I want to be in this conversation, is that weeding never ends. We can plant seeds already, even if there's some weeds still around, and we can continue doing both, and it can be a beautiful dance between the two.
I love that. And you've said so many things then. I've made loads of notes because as you were talking, I was thinking about an actual physical garden. And say that we've got this really beautiful garden, and some areas of the garden are kind of overgrown with weeds and nettles or whatever it might be, and there's other parts of the garden that we've kind of like managed to clear. And but just imagine that we put all our time and our energy into getting that garden into a really beautiful state where we can sit in our deck chair in the sun, watching the butterflies, watching the birds, and looking at the view of our garden. Now if we sit long, eventually the weeds are going to start to come up, the bushes or whatever it might be are going to start to, the hedge is going to need trimming. So it is a really powerful and beautiful balance between weeding and pruning and planting and growing. And I think that that's really important metaphor of life rather than spending so much time focusing on the weeds, which what you said there really hit home, because that's what I did. When you mentioned about there must be something wrong with me or something wrong with the world, I never saw that there was something wrong with the world. I constantly thought, well, there must be something wrong with me. And I focused all of my energy and my attention on trying to fix myself, trying to make myself better, trying to make myself fit in, trying to make myself acceptable, trying to make myself all these different things. And it was completely out of balance. And I loved what you said there about, like admit it, you're fucked. And it reminded me of one person that I follow who I absolutely love and really have deep resonance with. His teachings is Russell Brand. And one of his books, and I think it was one of his. I can't remember what the book was called, but you open the pages of the book and it says there, admit it, you're fucked. And then the next page says, right, now it's time to unfuck yourself.
I love that.
For those listeners, I mean, I use the F word probably more in this show than what I have done over the whole, but it's actually really important to pay attention to this kind of conversation where some of us, we spend so much time focusing on fixing ourselves. And we know from the law of attraction where attention goes, energy flows. And we're just reinforcing more and more that there is something wrong with us. And we expect the next course, the next healing weekend, the next book to be the ultimate, that this will be the one thing that'll finally sort me out. But what Alex is saying there, and something that I felt for much of my life too, is that it's a thirst I can't quench, and it never, one thing never fixes me. And it's coming to that place of acceptance that we're going to be weeding whilst we're planting the seeds of our garden pretty much the whole of our life. But what we notice is as we start to kind of like till the soil of our own inner consciousness and do some of the deeper work and the deeper weeding, our garden in the meantime gets more and more beautiful, and we become more powerful and creative gardeners in the garden of our life. And that's where we not only are able to dream a new beautiful dream, but we can actually bring it into physical fruition too. So thank you, Alex, so much. You said that was so enriching.
My pleasure. And there are many people who constantly go back and forth towards, I'm lacking something, I'm gonna buy the next course. I'm lacking something, oh, this next book will sort it out. It's constantly back and forth towards that, constantly looking outside of themselves for the next thing in order to be ready. So like we're never ready. And I'm definitely personally guilty of that very often until I catch myself and I'm like, what if I am ready? What if all I know is enough? What if all I have gathered so far in terms of courses, information, network, everything is enough for me to start? So that is a really, especially because we live in a time of so much information overload, constantly people on social media and like telling us there's more to be done. There's things that we didn't know we needed, but apparently we do, according to them. So just to give everyone this reassurance that what if it is enough? What if you're ready to start now to plant seeds?
I love that. I really love that. And I think from a conversation we had earlier on in the week, you and I, we just love learning, right? We love learning. We love growing. We haven't even finished the course we're on, and we're looking for the next course. Between having that enthusiasm and enjoying all these beautiful different stepping stones and getting the richness from each one without expecting it to be the cure all, the fix all. So this isn't saying don't explore these beautiful terrains and these different teachings, because there's so much beauty and richness within them. It's having the expectation that it's going to finally fix you, which can then leave you feeling, well, what is wrong with me, or feeling defeated, or feeling like a failure, or losing faith and hope and trust in yourself and in the universe. And also, what I love what you said there, Alex, if I can just, I had to write that down as well to make sure that I didn't forget it, is the what if game. It's one of my most favorite games. Like, what if I am already good enough? What if I already have what it takes to do this? What if What would happen if I believed in myself? You know, so the what if game is actually one of the most beautiful games, and I love that. So thank you for bringing that into the conversation. So perhaps this could be an invitation to you as the listeners to play the what if game now with us. So maybe, Alex, we can just bat to and fro with a couple of what ifs, and the listeners can absorb the ones that we say that resonate with them, or perhaps even come up with their own. So I'll kick it off, if that's okay with you, Alex. We go into
Oh,
another.
perfectly. I wanted you to.
So what if I am already good enough? And I've already said that, but that really lands with me. So what if I am already good enough? And then your turn. So we'll take it in turns.
What if I already have what it takes?
Oh, I love that. I love that. What if I believe that I can do this?
What if I have enough time, money, and resources to start now?
I love that. What if so many wonderful opportunities and doors open for me?
What if the universe has my back?
Oh, I love it. What if I completely and utterly believe in myself and the universe?
What if everyone else and the universe completely, utterly believes in me?
Oh, how beautiful. What if magical things happen for me today?
What if I'm ready?
Oh, what if I just do it?
What if I just do it? I think we can end there.
I think so. And you know what this is bringing into my mind, and I'll share this with you, and then I'm sure stuff's come up in your mind too for you to share as well. Is we focus so much on the negative what ifs. You know, well, what if I don't get the job? And well, what if my book doesn't get published? And you know, what if I don't have enough time? And we focus our energy and attention on the weeds in our garden and negative what ifs. But you know, what if people love my book? What if I get this coursework done, not just in time, but absolutely brilliantly? So I think that's really important to train ourselves to focus on the positive what ifs rather than the negative what ifs. I'm going to be quiet now because I'm sure that you've kind of collected a few thoughts in your mind as well. So
Just in that last piece, it reminds me of which philosopher was it? Was it Seneca that said, most like the worst days of our lives never happened? You know, we constantly imagine the worst possible scenario ever. And this is something that Gabor Mate talks about, you know, when we're often triggered, you know, if so there was a case study where this woman was supposed to watch a movie with her husband, and but then she started just going through her phone and reading through emails, and her husband got upset. And then they started having an argument, and then she said, "Well, I'm disrespected because he doesn't understand I have work to do." So her belief was, "My husband doesn't understand me, he's disrespecting me, I'm not important for him, yada, yada, yada." Maybe his version of the story was, "I thought we're gonna have quality time. Why are you on your phone? Why are you still working? I'm not lovable," you know? So, and Gabor was asking the audience, you know, what other possible situations, what other possibilities were there for her husband to be upset that she was on her phone? One was that he wanted attention, he wanted time with her, he wanted to whatever. But out of all the possible scenarios, we always go towards the worst one.
I love
So, you know, and I don't know if I'm explaining it very well because I don't have the case study very fresh in my mind, but basically the whole bottom, the moral of the story is we're constantly imagining the worst, and we have, I don't know, thousands of thoughts a day, spending so much of our precious attention and energy, exhausting ourselves out of negative, catastrophic scenarios that never happen.
I
So I'll
really love
just leave.
that. And just FYI, you explained that absolutely beautifully. And I think it's very important to train ourselves. And this is something that I do a lot of work on. I didn't realize I spent most of my life telling myself and interpreting things in a way, telling myself all these stories, getting lost in the stories. Oh, well, you know, I can't be important to them, or, you know, they can't love me, otherwise they wouldn't have done that, without exploring that there may have been a different perception of something that had happened. And I am indeed telling myself a story. And what is fact and what is true in that story that I'm telling myself? And that's something that really calls me out in a nice way. So it kind of brings me back lovingly. Like, I'm telling myself this whole story that I'm not likable, that I'm not lovable, otherwise they wouldn't have done that. But what is fact about that? What do I know to be absolutely true and absolutely fact? And this can also go for when we tell ourselves stories about not having enough money because of X, Y, and Z, or not being good enough at our job, or whatever it might be. There's loads of scenarios. It's like, well, first of all, recognizing I'm telling myself a story. What story am I telling myself? And what fact is available in, you know, what do I know to be absolutely true and factual within this? And then thirdly, and this is the bit that you've brought in so beautifully, is how else could I perceive this? What is a different story that I could tell myself about this? And I think that really then starts to bring us back, because our perception of something is then our projection. We then project out onto the world the way we perceive something to be. And then, of course, our perception is our projection, but our projection is also our perception. So we kind of stay locked in what we're sending out, seeing more evidence of it, and then it's bouncing back to reaffirm it. But this is where we come to the game. What if I could perceive the situation differently? What if there was a different story or different outcome that I could tell myself on that? So thank you, Alex. You led so deeply into something so beautiful, and I knew that we needed to bring this podcast. I was like, we've got to record all of this. We've got to record it.
Yeah, so nice how we flow.
It is. It's beautiful. And I love your the case study that you shared.
I'm glad you found it useful.
Absolutely beautiful. And I haven't sworn so much either, and I'm feeling really liberated right now.
I'm sorry for welcome. Yeah, sometimes I get the feedback that I swear too much. I don't know.
Oh, no, I don't know. No. I don't think you do. I mean, I've had that feedback too over time, to be honest. So it's not, you know, you're just bringing out in me that of which is already there.
Right. Yeah. For me, you know, it. In the end of the day, only we know how much is enough. If it's too much or too little, for me, I swear, just the right amount. Yeah. So you know, I'm not even offended when they tell me that. I'm like, you want me to swear less, but I think I don't swear too much. I think I swear the right amount, the right amount necessary.
Like, if somebody wants us to swear less, isn't that then us kind of bending and twisting ourselves out of shape to suit and make somebody else happy? So it's kind of like people pleasing in a way, isn't it? It's an interesting conversation, that one. Because Absolutely. I went through this a lot when I was doing a lot of public speaking pre-COVID. I swore a huge amount, and I was very mindful that I swore a lot. And I did notice that I was, you know, I stopped doing it mainly because I was kind of worried or fearful what people might think of me, and that wasn't really being authentic, right? So again, that's another conversation.
Absolutely. People pleasing is a big one.
Maybe we could do a show on that one as well, because I think all of this affects our vibration. All of this affects how, you know, how our frequency and the goggles or the lenses, if you like, in which we view the world through, which then determines how we feel, and how we feel then determines how we react, and how we react then determines an outcome. So even though the law of attraction is constantly working on feelings and vibrations, we can intercept that with some of the things that we're sharing today, especially the stuff we're talking about, the stories that we tell ourselves, learning to change our perception by looking for the positives rather than focusing on the negatives with the what if game. So what you mentioned earlier, Alex, about weeding versus seeding, and they do need to happen simultaneously, and sometimes you're going to spend time planting more seeds, sometimes you might spend a bit more time weeding, but you're never going to really escape having to weed and seed. But what I loved the way you mentioned in our call the other day and at the beginning of our chat today was therapy versus coaching. Like, that's so powerful. And Can you just share a little bit more about your thoughts on therapy versus coaching with regards to the weeding and the seeding conversation?
Yeah, so even as my personal story, because I started coaching and then very, very soon I realized people cannot, even though they're motivated to move forward and to dream big visions and to go after them, but there's trauma. There's trauma everywhere. We can't see it like fish cannot understand they swim in water, right? So everybody has trauma, big T or T, small T trauma. But yeah, so people would want to move forward in their lives, but there was trauma. There were things from the past that were blocking their progress forward, or they would drag them down. So then I thought, okay, I'll go and get trauma informed. And then I started doing loads of therapy myself, and I still am. And then that is when I also realized that I saw it in me personally. There's always more therapy to be done. There's always more healing the past. Now, sometimes doing therapy work, which is weeding work, which is healing the past, is urgent. If a loved one has passed away, there will be grief. The normal response is to be sad. The human response, you know, this needs to be, I don't even want to say dealt with. This needs to be felt, and it needs to be processed, and it needs to be held. So that would be the focus. But so, you know, when things are urgent, when things happen, then weeding and healing is really, really important work. But when this has kind of toned down a bit and it's not that urgent anymore, then often we get stuck in continuing to heal the past, but this way we never really take steps forward. I don't want to imply that we can't do both at once. Actually, I would encourage people to. I just saw, especially in my own life, I would constantly have that belief of, oh, I can't, you know, do X, Y, and Z because I still haven't healed this massive thing about myself, whether that is self-worth or, I don't know, scarcity, whatever. So these are big chapters that can be worked with and worked through, but we can't expect that to be done and be like, okay, I have no scarcity left. Now I will make a ton of money. So we can't just wait for that to be over in order to start doing coaching work. So coaching is more about the present and future, right? So where are you now? Where do you want to go in the future? Let's make an exciting plan to bridge the gap and have you walk towards that future vision. If something is blocking you from moving forward, then we'll go to do therapy work, which is healing the past. And as soon as that is quite okay and we can move forward, then we can go back to coaching work. So I see them kind of like that. And you can tell me if that makes sense. I see them as a bit of a dance, like let's focus on coaching work maybe because it's actually fun. It's about creating. It's about planting seeds, watering the seeds, making sure they have everything they need in order to blossom. And unless there's a reason, we can go back to doing more weeding work. Being someone who does do therapy regularly, and you know, I am quite obsessed with therapy. I'm not disregarding it at all. I love it. I'm just inviting people to not get stuck there. Does that make sense? Or is it too complicated?
Totally, my love. It makes massive sense. It's been really interesting listening, actually. So thank you for sharing that, because, you know, even though I've kind of known this and I've done this, I haven't tidied it up in my mind the way that this conversation has really helped me to get very, very clear on the differences of it, even though I've done the same as you. And I think, you know, what it boils down to is if we use the metaphor of the garden, if our plants and our trees and aren't growing and we're not inviting the wildlife into our metaphorical garden the way we want it to. So in other words, if our manifestations aren't working, it's because mm-hmm. there's something in the garden or some skill we might not have or some belief pattern that may be hindering that. And that's when the deeper work therapy really comes into play, and then the coaching, so that when you then come into where am I now, where do I want to be, and what's the best and most exciting way to get there, and that's when we move forward a lot quicker and we start to create more powerful results because we've gone and done some of the deeper work. And like you say, it's an ongoing dance, which I absolutely, I love the way you said that. And also talking about feelings, and when we feel, we heal. And so many of us, we're not used to feeling our feelings. We're not used to allowing space for them and letting them be there. And potentially, this is going into no bad parts work, having a conversation and finding out what it is that they want us to know and to dive deeper into. A lot of people are so uncomfortable with that because they worry that when the floodgates open, they're not going to be able to stop. Some people, it's very, very alien because they haven't been brought up in a house where feelings are allowed to have this kind of space. But as far as bringing it back to the law of attraction, all of this stuff is part and parcel of magical and true creation. We are coming towards the end of time, but I think what's going to be really important for us to end this on is Alex and I are both great fans of the work of Robert Fritz and the Path of Least Resistance. And what we want to become is this true creative force in our life where we're not just moving around our problems in our same paradigm. So what Robert Fritz refers to this as is preemptive striking. So some people think that they're manifesting, but actually what they're doing is trying to avoid something that they fear from happening. And because there's this fear of maybe lack of money or not being good enough, going into trying and pushing and forcing things to happen and not really becoming that true creative force in their life and creating just for the fun of it, without any attachment, enjoying it from an experimental perspective. Oh, when I do this, I wonder what happens. There's none of that heavy attachment when it comes to true and powerful manifesting. And I love the way that Robert Fritz describes it, that there is a profound difference between problem solving and true creating. So there's a profound difference between preemptive striking to try and stop the worst thing from happening and stepping into true manifesting. This has been a big conversation that you and I have had over time. And did you want to add anything to that, my love?
You're always very good at explaining this. So yeah, it's really the same, very similar to what we've talked about up until now. So instead of solving problems, there will always be more problems to be solved. I think Carl Jung did mention at some point that people who are happier, more self-actualized, healed, he saw people who, when they were, you know, further down in their journey, not in an initial state anymore, they still had problems, but they were not focusing on the problems. Problems are always there. They're always in the background. There will always be problems. We can't transcend that in any way. So instead of focusing on problems, it's about focusing on creating, which is what artists do. Artists have a vague idea of what they want the outlook, the final result to look like, and they just, with having the result in mind, they start creating. They start, you know, with a blank canvas, a stroke at a time. I'm thinking of like a painter at the moment. So yeah, it's like going towards resolution, as he says, doesn't he? Like constantly creating a result that's aligned towards the vision, as opposed to putting out fires that do not create anything. Because when we solve problems, we still haven't created the life we want.
Yeah, exactly. And I tell you what, interestingly enough, I've got the book on my desk and I've just opened it. The weirdest thing is I've opened it on chapter 3, which is exactly what we're talking about. Creating is no problem. Problem solving is not creating. That's the chapter. I highly recommend you get this book. This is what we've been talking about. So basically, if most of us have been raised in a tradition of problem solving and have had little real exposure to the creative process, and this is exactly what you've just said, my love, for this reason, many people confuse the two. It doesn't help when some experts talk about creative problem solving. They think that the creative process and problem solving are the same thing. But Robert Fritz says they are completely different. The problem solvers propose elaborate schemes to define the problem, generate alternative solutions, and put the best solution into practice. He then goes on to say, if this process is successful, you might eliminate the problem. Then what you have is the absence of the problem that you are solving, but you do not have the presence of a result that you want to create.
Exactly.
Exactly what you just said, my love. You could have written the book.
I read the book.
you could have written the book. But it's so, you know, this is an important conversation. We have already shared a huge amount, and I know sometimes it's a lot to absorb. So we can go deeper into this with more podcasts. And, you know, like I said, on the first time you were on, we've got so much to share and so much to talk about. How about, Alex, we come back and talk a little bit more about this in a couple or a few weeks' time? How would you feel about that?
Yeah, absolutely. I love having conversations with you.
Oh, I love it. It's so rich.
Definitely. Always have more to add, more to explore. It's like we keep opening a door and there's more doors inside each door.
I know. Oh, gosh. It's like Alice in Wonderland, isn't it? You kind of go down the rabbit hole. Like, oh, my God, there's so much to talk about. So what I'll do is make sure that in the show notes, you've got details of how you can contact Alex if you would like to have a conversation with her, have a free consultation to see if there's any of the trauma-informed work that has that resonance for you. It has deep resonance for me. I highly recommend her. She's not only an amazing psychedelic coach, she's a fantastic life coach, but also doing a lot of works with Gabor Maté, one of my favorite teachers of all time. So have a little look, have a little explore. And we are going to be back giving and sharing more information about this beautiful Hero's Journey microdosing course that we are in the process of creating in our beautiful garden that we're going to invite you into if it has resonance for you too. But for now, any final words before we end the recording?
No, I don't think so. I think that was a very complete and wholesome discussion, and I'm really, really grateful to have been here for it.
Me too. And thank you, my darling. I really appreciate it. Love the richness. And I'll be back with you guys same time next week. And in the meantime, do reach out Solara at solarastar.com if you would like to give any feedback, any questions, anything that you would like us to cover on the show. Enjoy playing the what if game. And I will be back with you same time next week. All right. Lots of love from Alex and I. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. Solara Star will be back next week with great insights into the law of attraction. In the meantime, please visit solarastar.com.